you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Wears Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Folks, it's Friday evening. I hope that you've got a great evening planned, but I also want to talk to you about this Sunday that's coming up. It's going to be Mother's Day. And I have preached some very unusual Mother's Day sermons over the years, not your usual, isn't it great being a mom or isn't it great to have a mom? Something a little different. And I want to bring you just a bit of some of that tonight. The reason being, not that I'm down on motherhood. I had a wonderful mother growing up, and I have a wonderful wife, and she's been a fabulous mother to our seven children and is now a great, wonderful grandmother to our grandchildren. But I'll tell you something. I think sometimes when we look at the Scriptures, we have to readjust our attitude about what God says concerning family, parenting, including the fact that not everybody has a great mother, and not all mothers have a supportive husband, and not all mothers have obedient children. So tonight's message, I hope, will bring encouragement to those whose families are a little less than thrilling. Listen and see what God has to say for you. It is Mother's Day. It's a time of year when we do try to celebrate and remember and honor the role of mothers. And that's a good thing, even though it's not on the church calendar. It's on most American churches' calendar. And I do think Hallmark has had a lot to do with that. But it was a great idea, because after all, we'd all like to be part of this idyllic family scene. You know, the mom and the dad who love each other and who love their children and point their children to God. And, you know, that would just be lovely. Sort of spending our evenings gathered around the piano, singing hymns to God, the way it is at your house. Mom who always manages to keep everything immaculate in the home, a real Proverbs 31 woman. She's into real estate. She makes her family's clothing. She oversees a household staff. Proverbs 31, go back and read it. It'll make you weep. I was blessed to grow up with a mother who loved my dad and loved the children and did indeed point us to the Lord. But not everybody has those sorts of memories. There are some people here who had miserable childhoods. There are some people here who lost their mom in childhood and would love to think of what a wonderful mother she might have been if she had lived. There are some of you here, however, who were abandoned by mom or abused by mom. Susan and I work with children who come from various family situations, but the one thing that they all have in common is that they all have a problem in the home that they didn't create. They need to be someplace else, because home is not such a good place to be. There's a lot of pain for a lot of families and a lot of individuals come Mother's Day. I don't think Hallmark has a card for that. Dear Mom, even though you were mean to me and drunk a lot of the time, I wanted to send you this card anyway. I've never seen that card. Mom, you'll never know the pain in my heart because I felt like you never loved me. They don't have those at the store. They might sell, actually. But for a lot of folks, we'd just rather not think about it. Thanks very much.
Over the years, I've had couples tell me, thanks for recognizing those of us who are childless. Because Mother's Day is a day that's so tough, we sometimes struggle with whether or not to come to church on that day. What if you desperately wanted children, and God didn't say yes? Mother's Day can be hard. We went to 2 Timothy chapter 1 because there is in this text and in the story of Timothy a lot that can encourage all of us today, whether we come from a wonderful family or whether we come from a pretty miserable family. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, this is God's word. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve as my forefathers did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you, so that I may be filled with joy. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord or ashamed of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel, I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am. Yet I am not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day. What you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching, with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word.
If you enjoy learning about biblical truths on abiding in Christ, you won't want to miss the opportunity to join Jim Wood as you journey to the land of the Bible, Israel. Preaching since he was only 15 years old, you can be sure that Jim is well prepared to share insights at each location you visit. Plan now for this 2019 trip by visiting wvr.org/Israel. Again, visit wvr.org/Israel to learn more about this April 2019 travel opportunity with Jim Wood.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown.
Timothy was a young man who suffered with a lot of insecurity. He had frequent stomach ailments. He struggled with fear. We not only get that from these opening verses here, but from the fact that when Paul writes to another church, he tells them in 1 Corinthians 16, verses 10 through 11, if Timothy comes, see to it that he has nothing to fear while he is with you, for he is carrying on the work of the Lord just as I am. No one then should refuse to accept him. Send him on his way in peace so that he may return to me. I'm expecting him along with the brothers. If Timothy comes, make sure he has nothing to fear. Take care of this guy. He struggles with feelings of insecurity. He's told, God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of love and of power and of self-control. In the King James, it says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, echoing something that Paul deals with in Romans chapter 8 when he says, For God has not given us a spirit of fear. Instead, he has given us the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The thing that delivers us from our fear is being rightly related to our adoptive Father, our Heavenly Father. You see, Timothy didn't have a real good relationship with his dad. His grandmother was a believer. His mother was a believer. But Timothy was not circumcised as a child. Growing up with a Jewish mom and a Jewish grandmother, he had a Greek father who was not a believer. He was not a convert. And so Paul is the one who ends up circumcising Timothy in Acts 16. Because Timothy had not received from his earthly father that sign of the covenant that said, you're part of God's family. Dad and mom may not have divorced, but clearly there was a break in the relationship, and they didn't share the same philosophy of child rearing. And Dad had his way when it came to circumcision while Timothy was growing up, but Timothy was drawn to the faith of his mother, and he had become a believer before he ever met the Apostle Paul. And yet Paul developed a special relationship with him and refers to him twice in these opening chapters of 2 Timothy as my son. You see, somebody doesn't have to be your biological child in order for you to become their parent. And some of you in this church who longed to have children of your own, and God did not bless you with that favor, but you invested yourselves in the lives of the children in this church. And generations of children are grateful to God for the fact that you made them feel happy and welcome in this place. God bless you for being used by him to show his love to children. I want to suggest just a few things this morning that we want to pass on in the way of a legacy to our children. The first is, and these are all out of this opening chapter, the first is a sincere faith. Paul says in verse 5, I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. What do you want to give your kids? A car for their 16th birthday? Kids are saying, yeah. You want to give them a trust fund? Money for college? Money to get their first house? You know the most important kinds of things that you could give your children? Money can't buy. It's not financial. You remember that when you're out working 90 hours a week, trying to make all that money and don't have time for your kids. Because you're trying to give them something. You want them to have a legacy. The most important thing you could possibly give them is a sincere faith. But if you're going to give them a sincere faith, it's got to be something that lives in you. You can't give them what you don't have. You know that's true financially, but do you understand that it's just as true spiritually? Well, I want my children to be on fire for God. Are you? I want my children to live holy lives. Do you? I want my children to be people who pray. Do you? I want them to read their Bibles. Do you? I want them to trust God. Do you? I want my children to have a sincere faith, to genuinely, honestly believe God. The only way I'm going to be able to pass that on to them is if I practice that myself. And I want you to see moms, grandmom, and dads too, that you can't blame it on your mate if that's not happening. See, Timothy had a father who didn't get it, but Timothy still got a sincere faith because mom wasn't going to compromise hers. Mom was not going to say, well, you know, I really wish that we had a more spiritual atmosphere here. No, mom radiated a genuine trust in God, even though her husband wouldn't get with the program. She was transparent in her faith her sincere faith. And that kind of faith is contagious to our children. So don't blame your spouse if it's not happening with your kids. And don't blame yourself. Focus on drawing near to God. The point of this is not to get you to beat yourself up if your kids aren't doing well. If your kids aren't doing well, you need to focus on drawing close to God. And if your kids are doing well, you need to focus on drawing close to God. Is that clear? In other words, regardless of what anybody else is doing, you can't give it away if you don't have it. So you need to cultivate a sincere faith. And then you can be in a position to share that with others, to impart that to the next generation. The second thing, that was verse 5, by the way. Verses 8 through 12 talk about this courageous witness. If you're going to be a witness for Jesus Christ, you're going to have to be willing to stand against the moral depravity that is swimming all around us and say, God calls us to live a holy life. And no matter what society says is acceptable, we're going to go by what God says in His Word. And we're going to call other people to trust in Him. Now, I'd better also be not only a courageous witness, but a humble understanding of grace. It's verses 9 through 12. Paul describes the fact that we have been saved not because of anything we have done, but because of His own purpose and grace. Do you get that? Do not allow your children to think for one moment that the reason we're going to heaven, honey, is because we're not like those people out there. We're good people. Our family is the right kind of people. We do things the right way. We're good people. We're better than those people. No, the fact is we are called to live a holy life, but it's not because of anything good we've done. It is because of God's own purpose and grace. We are saved by grace. And the same grace that has saved us can save the most deplorably sinful individual that you can think of. The fella who is writing this to Timothy is the one who in his first letter to Timothy described himself as the chief of sinners. If you want your kids to believe in God's grace, you had better not pretend that you never do anything wrong. You'd better not be so imperial in your demeanor towards your children that they think that whether you know it or not, you've got faults. A preacher who's now deceased had several children who all turned out to be disasters. I mean, he was a spectacularly famous evangelical leader. His kids, thankfully, did not become famous because they were all hostile to the faith and engaged in everything from substance abuse to sexual perversion. None of them embraced the gospel. My brother asked someone who knew the family well, "What do you think happened?" And this person said, "Well, I'll give you an example. When the boy was entering his teen years, he wanted to learn how to shoot a gun. And so his dad took him out back with a gun, set up a target, and fired off a bunch of bullseyes, handed the gun to the boy and said, 'When you can do that, let me know,' and walked back in the house. The boy didn't pursue shooting a gun because the standard was set deliberately out of reach for a child. And my brother said, how opposite our father. Our dad would take us with the gun, show us how to shoot, and whatever our first attempts, he'd say, 'Wow, great job. I couldn't have done that at your age.' He always encouraged us to have hope, to believe that we could make progress. And it is great as a parent to set the bar high for your kids and encourage them to go for the best. But if you try to give them the impression that you started out there, you're not only a liar, but you're going to cripple your children. And may God forgive me for the times when my self-righteousness and my pride have been a discouragement and a stumbling block to my children. If you want to give your kids a godly legacy, you need to share a sincere faith with them. You need to encourage a courageous witness. You need to cultivate a humble understanding of grace. You have got to model a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Look at verse 12. That is why I'm suffering as I am, yet I am not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed and am convinced that he is able to guard what I've entrusted to him for that day. Timothy, I'm not just giving you a bunch of platitudes or doctrinal statements. I am telling you, you can trust in him. I have trusted him, and I know whom I have believed. I know him. Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ that you can pass on to your children? Can you introduce him? You can't do it if you don't really know him. Have you ever really moved beyond intellectual faith to personal trust? I know whom I have believed, not what. It's great to know doctrine. It's important to know doctrine. But you know, the devil is well acquainted with the basic tenets of Christian orthodoxy. There is no debate over the inerrancy of the scriptures in hell. But see, it's not enough to believe these points of doctrine. You've got to know Christ. Do you know him? And finally, having a personal relationship with Christ will motivate you to preserve the pattern of sound teaching, verses 13 and 14. It's not just about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, knowing that you've been born again, trusting in him for salvation. But he says, what you have heard from me. Now remember, this is a spiritual parent talking. This is Paul the apostle speaking to Timothy, his dear son. What you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. There are doctrinal truths that need to be passed from generation to generation. We need to instruct our children in the truth. But the doctrine without the relationship is dead orthodoxy. And all that will produce is reproach. Because if your kids get the doctrinal points, but they don't get the relationship with the Lord, they will not only be powerless to live a holy life, but they will be evidence that that truth doesn't necessarily transform. And I implore you, whether you're a parent, a grandparent, or a young person here today, realize that how we respond to this not only affects our lives, but it affects generations to come. Let's bow together in prayer. Heavenly Father, you know everything about every one of us here. There's some parents who need to call their kids and say, I'm sorry, my priorities were all out of whack, and I ask your forgiveness. There are some folks who need to call their parents and say, I'm sorry, you told me the truth, you showed me the truth, and I wouldn't listen. I ran the other way. Please forgive me. I'm not asking to come home to you. I'm telling you that I want to get right with God. God, whatever kind of phone calls we need to make today, I pray that we would call on you. I pray that we would cry out to you and offer our lives sincerely, in full surrender, in true obedience. And we'll give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.